Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Yod Aleph Amud Aleph, where the second line with the Rosh HaTevos Lamud Aleph, which stands for Lishna Achrina. This is a different version of what Shmuel had said. Just to remind ourselves, Shmuel had said on Daf Yod Amud Beis that when it comes to a kila, it's mutter to sleep under a kila as long as it is not, even though it has a flat roof, even though it has this roof which is flat, still it's going to be mutter as long as it's not 10 tfachim. So now this Lishna Achrina says, Amri La Amr of Yudam or Shmuel. Mutter lishon bekilas chasanim basuka lefisha in la gag. So this is a little different. It's a kilas chasanim, but you're allowed to sleep under this kilas chasanim as a bridal canopy in a sukkah because it has no roof with the width of a tefach. Afal pisha gvasar, even though it is 10 tefachim tall. The kilas chasanim, unlike the regular kila, which is flat top, has no halachic gag. It doesn't have a halachic roof. Therefore, according to Shmuel over here, that, if in a god, even though it's 10 tefachim, even if it's above 10 tefachim, that's not going to be an issue over here. So this is a kula with regards to kilas chasanim. So is this lishnach? Usually when we have a ikad armer or lishnach rin, a lot of times it's arguing on the previous version of Shmuel. But according to the Rush quotes the Ritz Geis, he says that it's not arguing, that this is not coming to argue. This is going to, that Shmuel told us when it comes to the first kila, that it's only 10 tefachim because it has something on top, which is more of an ol, so therefore it's a problem if it's more than 10 tefachim. However, this, which doesn't have that structure and therefore nature is more temporary, then according to Shmuel it's not going to be an issue, and that is this is not arguing, and therefore we'd go like both versions of Shmuel. That's what the Rush quotes the Ritzke is. Tosas go back and forth about this. Tosas suggests on Yudon Beis, back on the bottom of the previous Talmud, Tosas talk about this, and Tosas suggests that maybe Shmuel would argue, maybe the two statements of Shmuel are arguing on each other. Okay, we'll go just to point out that machlokas. I think we pass like the Rush. The Rush is going to go like the Ritzkeis, that they're not arguing. We do like go like the second shot. So now the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, Mesvid, that we're going to ask a question on Shmuel from the Bryce. The Bryce says, Yashan bekila basukal yotzek avesu. Someone who sleeps within a kilas chasanim, seemingly, is not going to be yotzis. And where's the Hachamai askinan beish lagag? We're talking about this type of kila. This canopy has a roof which is a tefach wide, and therefore it is a problem. According to Shmuel's kilas chasanim, it's slanted, doesn't have this tefach, which is why even if it's more than 10 tefachim, upwards, and it doesn't have this roof-like structure, it's not going to be an issue. So therefore, there's no question. The Gemara says, Tashmel, we'll bring another proof against Shmuel from a different brisa. The brisa says, Naktilan Shnaim, when it comes to Naktilan, those are considered if they have two posts on it, on the edge of the bed. The Kinofas Arba, well, if you have Kinofas, that's four. Posts. Pirais algabi kinofos psula. If one spread a sheet over the kinofos, the area beneath is going to be possible for usage if you're under that area in a sukkah. Al gabi naktilin kshira. However, if you're under the naktilin, beneath that area is going to be mutter. It's not going to be kasher. Vavad shalei naktilin gvor min minta asar tfachim. Provided that the naktilin are not 10 tfachim above the bed, because if they are, then it's another problem. Hagvor min minta asar psula. This implies that if the naktilin are 10 tfachim above the bed, the area below is going to be possible. Afal bishin lagag. And a naktilin doesn't have a roof, like we mentioned before, that's a tefach wide. So how is Shmuel going to answer this? When it comes to Naktilin, we're saying that Naktilin are going to be puzzled if they're more than 10 Tvachim, and even though they seemingly don't have a halachic roof, whereas when it comes to Kilas Chasanim, Shmuel said that Kilas Chasanim is not a problem, even though it's above 10 Tvachim. Why should there be a difference? They both don't have a halachic status of a roof. So the more answer, no, really, Shmuel is going to agree that Naktilin are different, because Shanei Naktilin dekviyeh, because Naktilin are fundamentally different, because they are fixed. They are considered more permanent in nature. Only with something that's arai, something so temporary, like the Kilas Chasanim, that's going to be mutter, even if it's above 10 Tvachim. When it comes to Naktilin, which are more permanent, they're more fixed structure, so therefore that would be something that is going to be problematic, even according to Shmuel. So Gemara asks, but if Naktilin are really considered permanent, then why aren't they like Kinofis, which are going to be puzzled, even if it's less than 10 Tvachim? We saw that was the third most Machmir Shita when it comes to the halachas of Kinofis, Kinofos, that we're going to be Machmir, that even below 10 Tvachim, since it's a permanent structure, is going to be puzzled if you're under it, because it's an Ohel. So it's like a permanent structure. It's going to be a halachic even less than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, no, because look at the kinofis, look, with regards to, if you're comparing Naktilin to kinofis, then they're considered temporary. However, the gabi kila, in relation to kila, when it comes to kila's chasanim, then it's going to be considered permanent. So basically what comes out is that we have three categories. We have kila, kinofis, and Naktilin. A kila is going to be the most, is going to be something which is not at all, is not going to at all kavua. It's going to be arai. Therefore, it has to be both a tefach and 10 tefachim tall. When it comes to kinofis, those are totally permanent. They're going to be a barrier, a chatzitza and the oel, between you and the sukkah, even if they're not 10 tefachim tall. Whereas Naktilin, they are not as permanent as kinofis, but they're more than a kila, so they're in the middle ground over here, and therefore they're like they're going to be that if they're going to be usher, even without a tefach gag, but they have to be 10 tefachim tall. That is the shita of Shmuel Lemaisa. Okay, that's what comes out from Shmuel's maskana. Now the Gemara continues. Darash Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Rav Huna says, Mutar lishon bakila afal pi sheyesh lo gag. It's permitted to sleep within a kila canopy in a sukkah, even if it has a roof of a tefach wide. Afal pi shegvoa asar, even though it is 10 tefachim tall. Even though generally it is a different reshus inyan ohel, however, it is considered temporary, seemingly, and therefore it's not going to be a problem of a chatzitza between you and the sukkah. So the Gemara says, who's this? Kaman Rabbi Yehuda? You're going to say that Rabbi Bar Avuna thought that we should pass on like Rabbi Yehuda? De Amar lo asi ol arayim v'atel ol keva, that Rabbi Yehuda holds in the Mishnah that someone is not allowed to sleep under this the normal sheets over a bed because that area is considered an ol mitoch the sukkah, so it's you're not considered in the sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda says that that's not true when it's something that's temporary, since it's only a temporary structure, and you're sitting in the sukkah, which is, we know according to Rabbi Yehuda, l'shitaso, has to be a diras kev, has to be a fixed permanent structure. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not an issue. Again, this comes out of the kula because he's machmir on the alachas of a sukkah. So therefore, something that's temporary will not invalidate something that's permanent. Not as we learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, we would sleep under the bed of the sukkah in the presence of the zakenim, and they didn't say anything to us, so they didn't correct us, apparently, because it's only temporary and it's not an issue. The Gemara is going to discuss this, and we're going to get into this on Chaf somewhere. In the Chafs over there, the Gemara is going to talk about this, so we're going to get to this Bez Hashem, a more in-depth discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. But we see from here that seemingly Rabbi Bar Ravuna is seemingly just telling us the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. To which the Gemara asks, fine, if that's the case, then that should be an issue. However, lema lach Rabbi Yehuda, all he had to say was, halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Why does he bring a new case as if it's like his own psak? Just say, you heard, you think that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to tell us what the exact case is, because we know Rabbi Yehuda paskins. So the Gemara says, no, iam halacha Rabbi Yehuda. If I had told you simply that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, then I would have thought, havamina hanemile mita delagabe asuya. Because I would have thought only specifically Rabbi Yehuda said this halacha when it comes to a bed. Because a bed, why do you build a bed? A bed is built for the reasons that you want the area above it, meaning you want the bed surface, you want to be able to sleep on the bed. It's for the upper part. It doesn't have an OL status because the area below it I don't want. It's something I don't want. So therefore, there's no reason to assume that there should be a problem of a chatzitza between you and a different OL, a different shus between you and the sukkah. However, kila, delasukha, siya, emala, but when it comes to a kila, this kila, which is a canopy, which is specifically built for the purpose of the area that's within it, Rabbi Yehuda might be moda that you're not allowed to sleep beneath that area because it's used for that purpose below it, and since it's specifically for that purpose below it, it's the status of an ol. Even if it's temporary in nature, Rabbi Yehuda might agree that it's usher to sleep in it. So therefore, I need Rabbi Bar Avuna to teach me kamash malan time of Rabbi Yehuda lo asi ol arayim atal keva loshna mita veloshna kila, that I needed Rabbi Yehuda. I needed the statement of Rabbi Bar Avuna to teach me that Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is not simply that it's a temporary inyan, it can't come to be mevatel a ol keva. That the reason is that the Rabbi Yehuda doa seyar, meaning there's no such thing as something that's temporary, even if it's an ol arai, it's considered a halachic ol, but it's only temporary, that would not invalidate the fact that you're there in a permanent structure of the sukkah. Lo shna mita v'loshna kila, it doesn't matter what the thing that was that you're in, it doesn't matter if it's a bed, which is used for the purpose below, or a kila, which is used for the inside, which is a real status of an ol, that area that you're in is more halachic ol. When it comes to the chashav, it's really pasgan like that, that an ol, if you want to use the area below it, that's when it comes to ol arai, which is asur b'derabanan, to do on Shabbos. If you're not using the area below it, like a table, making a table is going to be less problematic because you don't want the air to shayla by putting your foot under. But halachically, if you're using the area below it, that's a major issue of an ohel. So here he's teaching you that it doesn't matter what the purpose is, even though halachically it's worse to want to use the area below it. That doesn't matter since you're in a permanent structure. That permanent structure overtakes the ohel arai of the kila. And according to Buddha, there is no issue with that. Okay, now we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us hidla alavis agefen. If someone put onto the top of ischach a grapevine, vesat las or a gourd, vesakisum, also type of all these things are things a plant, something that's connected to the ground. Vesika chalgaba, and the Gemara is going to learn out where do we get this from, and he covered it with schach that's kosher. Psula, still the sukkah is going to be puzzle, as Rashi tells us, because based on the Gemara we're going to get into tomorrow's daf, the pasuk says ba'aspucha migranecha umiikvecha. So we're learning out Ipsulas Gord Vyakav Kasumidaber, the Aspacha Maganach Vyakvecha, that Dafka in these things, only something that's taken out of the things that were connected to the ground, not something that's actually connected to the ground, it has to be something that's left over from the actual threshing floor on the wine press, that's something that's detached from the ground. Something that's attached to the ground is going to be puzzle. So Vim Haya Siku Harbe Mehen, but if there is more kasher schach than this puzzle schach that's on top of the sukkah, then we're gonna have a rove. Oh, shikatz is an aura, different halach over here. If you detach the vines from the ground, kasher, the sukkah is going to in fact be kasher, because, and Rashi points out, even la'achar shesachacha behen, v'lo arminan t'chilas nasiya v'psula psula, that we're, this isn't the psul of a major problem that we're going to get into at length when it comes to tasa v'lo mena'asa, that it's something that was invalid when you first started it, and you cut them down, that would be something that should state in its problematic form the entire time. We're going to get into Tasav and Asa. I'll explain it more when we get into it in the Gemara. We'll explain exactly what this means. So the Gemara says, Zeaklal, Kol Shu Mekabla Tuma, whatever is going to be susceptible to Tuma, like say food or it's different things, like you produce clothing or anything else that's Mekabla Tuma, V'en Gidula Mina Aretz, or something that does not grow from the ground. As Rashi points out, that something that's angular in arts, like Rashi says, oros behema, if you make animal hides that there aren't susceptible to tuma yet because they're not finished yet, if they're not a finished product, then they're not yet susceptible to tuma. So then, still, those are going to be ein mesachim, but you cannot use it for sach, v'chol davar she'ein mekabel tuma, something which is not susceptible to tuma, gidul min arts, and it grows from the ground, mesachim, but that you can use for your sach. So this is a very important halacha that we hold, that when it comes to the schach itself, which is the ikar part of the sukkah, it cannot be mekabel tuma. It can't be mekabel tuma. That's a remez. I think Chassidus Sfarim bring down this thing that the schach can't have tuma in it, and it's and the sukkah is remez that we're going out to be mekabel the shechina, that we always have to be so careful to not allow our own bodies, to let ourselves, our goof, our bodies to become tameh. The sukkah is such a holy place. It's reminding us that we should never allow things into our home, into our, even it's the temporary home of the sukkah, the kol shekin, our real bias, to have things that are mekabel tuma, things that can bring tuma, chas v'shalom, into our houses. Okay? That's a very important, to only have appropriate things in our houses. And the Gemara asks, the Gemara says that Yosef Rav Yosef came to Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting before Rav Huna. Yosef Vekamar, and he was sitting, and he said the following, Oshikat Zukasir, when the Mishnah says that if you detach the vines, the sukkah is going to be kosher, Vyamar Rav, and Rav said, Tzarech Lanane, Rav says that after detaching the vines, you have to shake them, you have to lift them up in order for them to be kosher. So this is the concept that even though the schach, you had pasul schach, so now you now cut it off, so it's now kasher schach. There's a different problem over here. The pasuk says that chaga sukkos ta'aseh, the sukkos should be made, and we're going to learn from there that ta'aseh means that ta'aseh velo mina oseh, that something has to be acceptable in the state that you made it in, and not later going to be made in a state that is going to be kasher. So, for example, that when it comes to our case, where the sukkah was covered by pasul vines, and then the sukkah was then puzzle because it was all connected to the tree still, then you detach them, so then when you now cut them, that's not considered an asiyah of the sukkah, and therefore the schach still remains puzzle, meaning for this, because of this concept that you never really had a kosher sukkah at that point. So according to Rav, the Mishnah is teaching us that the schach has to be kosher, they have to be attached to the time they're placed in the sukkah, they need to be relifted in order for it to be kosher. So they obviously, not obviously, but the Sfasemis points out that according to Rav, the other schach that was there, those don't need to be lifted, even though I don't have a sukkah psula right now. Maybe I would have thought that I have to lift all the schach. So says Rav, no, only the schach that was possible I have to lift, and not the rest of the schach. That's according to the Sfasemis. So the Gemara says, Amar, the Rav Huna said to Rav Yosef, Hashmul Amra. So Rav Yosef said the statement, and Rav Huna said, yeah, that was Shmuel said that. So Rav Yosef got upset at him. Adrina Rav Yosef lapei v'amar lei, altu mika mina lach to lamar Shmuel. So he turned him in anger. He was turning away from him. He's saying, why do you have to say that Shmuel said this also? Why do you have to correct me? Okay, so I said it in the name of Rav, and now you're telling me Shmuel said it as well. Amar Rav, Amar Shmuel, what's the problem? Rav said it, and then Shmuel said it also. Why are you interrupting me and telling me like I made a huge mistake over here? So Ravuna really responded, Amar Ravuna, halchi kam nilach. No, this is what I meant to tell you, that the Shmuel Amar Ashmar v'lo Rav. No, I really think that you're wrong. I'm sorry. I think you've made a mistake, because it's really Rav, and not the opinion of Shmuel. The Rav, Echshur Machshur, because Rav would say that the find of our sukkah, of our Mishnah, is going to be kosher even without shaking them. And according to Rav, Tasev Lana Asa is going to apply in the Mishnah, but if you're doing something that you katzitzan, the fact that you're actually doing the katzitza according to Rav, that is going to be, that's the Gemara Asiyas, Rashi says, the Lashon of Rashi says, because katzitza zoe Gemara Asiyas, that doing the cutting is considered as if you finish it. So then Rashi says, when do you have tasim and osa according to this opinion of Rav? So Rashi says, kigon achotet begadish, lasas losuka shasikha chayma ala, veino nogea bo lasas shumaisa. That according to Rashi, the case is, and we're going to get onto this later, that if you have a haystack made with the sukkah inside it, in that case, there was no action performed to the walls or the schach, and therefore it's going to be a problem of tasim. Even according to Rav, that's the case of Tasev and the Manasui. So according to this case, the Rav holds that this isn't a problem. You don't have to lift the schach. So the Gemara says, "Kihad of Amram Chasida," as Rav Amram Chasida said, that what Rav Matzchila approves of the Inche Beisei, that he used to place tzitzis on his wife's garments. What it was called Inish Beisei. The Tosas Yata discussed this in Sota. Says why a woman called why is it the lashon of someone's wife? Rashi says talking about Ishto is going to be his lashon of Inche Beise, the family's house. So he says maybe it's like Tznius, not to call her by her name, not to call her by that. That some Chassidim do that. They don't call their wives by their name. But that's another point right now. And it really means that Karis the Bai is the one who's taking care of the house. The wife usually is the one who's running the show and taking care of the house. So either way, he put on tzitzis on his wife's begadim. So wait a second, what do you mean? Why is his wife wearing tzitzis? Is she part of the whatever, I can tell which movement that might be now defined as nowadays, but why is she wearing tzitzis? So Tosfos says, and I think maybe Rashi says also, Rashi says also, the proof of the Inche Beisei, Rashi says that he held that Lila is man tzitzis, and therefore Risa Moso is only for a blind person, because it says Risa Moso, and Rashi says Prat Luxus Lila, that you should see it, is coming to exclude the fact that you see it, you don't see it at nighttime, because nighttime you don't see anything, it's dark. So that's what most of all the Tanayim and Amoraim learn out. So therefore they're going to learn that Sukkah, that their women are fundamentally pater from the mitzvah of tzitzis, and they don't wear tzitzis. However, he was of the opinion, Rav Amram, the Chasida, he was of the opinion that Lila is man tzitzis, and the reason was coming to exclude a blind person. So he held the woman archive and tzitzis by nighttime. So maybe those groups of people are very machmir for this Rav Amram Chasida. I'm joking because that's not how we pass the Shacharach. That hasn't shown him, and something that's rejected. If you could pick shitas beishamai that don't exist nowadays, that's not how halacha works. It doesn't work on what you want to do. It works on what the halacha says. Okay, that's a side point. Sorry, get a sidetracked over here. But back to the halacha of tzitzis. So the Gemara says that he made tzitzis for his wife. Talan v'lo pasak roshu chutin shalahem. So what happened was he accidentally he knotted them while they were single string, and then he didn't cut the top part of them, so tzitzis remain in a way that's puzzled. So over here, basically, Rashi describes it as that Ravamam, he took, generally, when it comes to tzitzis, what you do is you have separate strings, you have four on each end, and you double them over into making them eight strings. Rav Amram, he made a mistake, he took a single long string, he doubled it, and then doubled it over again, so therefore he ended up having four, and then he inserted half the lengths of these four strings through the other end of the, if you have a picture, it'll be a little helpful. Again, the Maros Sukkah are wonderful for these things, that if you have the four strings the way he had it, and then he knotted them, the strings, onto the corner, so the two sets of four strings were coming out from a way that was puzzled already. He didn't realize that already that only when the tip of these strings had snapped off, they were made in a way that was going to be kosher, but before then they were puzzles, so the way he put them in were a major problem. So the Gemara says, so what do we see from here? So what happened? So he asked the kamei Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. So he came to Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Amarlei halchi amar Rav, and Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said the name of Rav. Now mafsekan vein ksherin. The fact that the top parts of these strings had been cut off, that is considered an asiya with regards to, as the pasuk says, you also need asiya by tzitzis. We quoted this pasuk, gedim tasa lecha, that you should make tzitzis for yourself. So you actually have to need the asiya. So Rav tells you that the tzitzis, just by snapping them off, that already is called the asiya. So similarly, we see that Rav says that cutting them off is considered the making of the tzitzis, and therefore that's not a problem of tasev elamanasui. So too, hachanami ktisasen zoyasiasen. Here too, when it comes to the vines, Rav would tell you that detaching them from the tree is enough to say that that's making the sukkah, and therefore they're going to be kosher. So we see that Rav Huna holds that there's a machlokes between Shmuel and Rav. So the Gemara says that really true that the Shmuel would disagree. Does Shmuel not even hold that we would say that cutting them off doesn't consider the making? Shmuel himself taught in the name of Rav Chiya, "Hetil shnei karnos bevasacha." So if you put tzitzik strings onto two corners at one time, and then what happened? That if you afterwards the tops of the strings got cut off, so then they're going to be kosher. We see my love shekosher v'achachach posach. We see we're talking about a case where you tie the knots and afterwards you cut off the top of the strings. And Shmuel says that the tzitzis, even though they are made in a way that's possible because they weren't put in properly, Shmuel says that we don't say that psikasan zohi asiyah. So we don't say that the cutting them off is considered their make. We do see that he says they're kosher. So he says they're kosher. Then he does hold a psikasan zohi asiyah. He holds like Rav that cutting them off is considered making them and it's part of the tzitzis. So Gemara says no, lo shapos avacha kosher. That Shmuel is telling us that the tzitzis in the case where you're cutting off the top and afterward ties them, that's a case where it's kosher. That if you're cutting them off and then you tie them. The Gemara says posav avacha kosher ma'ala mimra. If he cuts them and afterwards he ties the knots, then obviously it's going to be kosher. What was the havamina that there should be puzzle? What's the thought that there should be puzzle? So Gemara says, "Ma'ad seima turning on the next time, but now ma'ad seima ba'inan knaf b'shas p'sila v'leika." We require a single corner at a time where you're putting the threads of the tzitzis on. And you don't have that over here. You would have a havamina to teach you. The Ritva just fleshes this out a little more. I think, the Ritva says that the requirement to have that it says knaf. So I would have thought only doing one thread at a time. I would have thought only doing it one. Kamashma, the Shmuel is telling us that when it comes to tzitzis, that even though you do two corners at once, that in fact is still going to be kosher, because even though the initial threading of a tzitzis was through the corner, that is not the main part of making tzitzis. The Ritva points out the main part of making tzitzis is that the knot should be tied. And that's the main part. And therefore, if you're going to have this tzitzis, it's going to be mekayim. That is not an issue. So says the Gemara. But wait a second. We have a kasha. Meisi ve, we have a kasha from Rav based on a brisa. What is a brisa? It's talan velo pasak rosh chutin shalom psulin. If someone hung and knotted the tzitzis while they were a single string without first cutting off the tips the top of the strings, so then they're going to be pasul. My love psulin olam. Isn't it seemingly there's pasul forever, meaning that unless you fix it and redo them, it's going to be a problem. And to observe, this is going to be a problem of Rav. Rav L'chora should hold that this is kosher because this was a way of psikasan zoi asiyasan. It should be considered that you made them and it shouldn't be an issue. So the Gemara says, Ushmuel amar psulan olam. So we see that Shmuel says that, in fact, that these aren't apostles. And Levi also said they're apostles forever. So they all said there's apostles in the olam. So that lechora is a question on the brace that seems to be more meduic, more clearly like Rav, like Shmuel and Levi, who paskin that this would be a problem of Tasim and Asri, and when these says this would in fact be invalid. So the Gemara says, Viter. We get out of another way that this Rav Masna's question. Amar Rav Masna, what did Masna say? Bedite have uvda. Once it's happened to me that I put a single knotted thread of snitzes before the tops cut off. Vasa the Kamidar Mar Shmuel, and I came before Shmuel, ask him if they're kosher. They're going to be puzzled unless you redo them. So the Gemara says, Macy Vey, they asked, based on the brace, if someone hung the tzitzis while they were a single string and then afterwards he cut them off, the tzitzis are going to be puzzled. This brace tells us that the tzitzis are going to be puzzled even after cutting them off. Oh, Tana Gavi Sukka. And also, so again, we're back to asking questions of Rav. Now we just quote the Ikad Amrei about which that this actually happened with Shmuel. That was just a side point. Now we're going back to ask questions on Rav. The Meisive is back on Rav, and also the Otana Gabi Sukka with regards to Sukka. Tasev Lemanasi. The Torah tells us you should make the Sukkas, which is implying, and they should not be something that was already made. Mikan Amru from here, they said that what? That if someone is Hidla Aleas, a Geffen Vesadlas Vesakisus, if someone lifted onto the Sukkah grapevine or gourd or another type of plant, Sika Chagabam Sula, and he covered them with Val's Chach, the Sukkah is going to be puzzled. So Gemara asks now, hey chidami, ilam mishlo katzisan. If you're going to tell me you didn't attach the vines from the ground, so mayir yomishum tassel lanasa. So why would the brisa say anything about the fact that it's something that's made and not which was already made? Typically, the mechurmanin is telling you that the psul right now is at the fact that they're connected, still currently connected right now. They're still currently connected to the ground, in which case it's puzzle on that end. So the Gemara says, elabisha katzisan. We're talking about the brisa where we must have told you where the things were detached from the ground, and therefore it's still tana psula. The mission is still brisa rather, still tells us that it's puzzle. Ushmamina. We see from here, according to Rav, this should be kosher. Yet this brisa tells us that it's puzzle. So the Gemara asks, you have to Rav. This is seemingly a knockout against Rav. This is a refutation of Rav. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Lecha Rav, Acha Ma'eskina. What are we talking about over here? Rav's going to say, we're talking about the Shalfino Shlufe, where he pulled the vines off the tree by hand. And therefore, it's possible, even according to Rav, the Lomintkar Asiyah Dituda, because here, your Asiyah is not recognizable. That normally, what are you cutting it off? You're cutting it with like some axe or something that's major to cut off these, or whatever type of instrument you're using to cut off these branches. You need something, an instrument to use it. So therefore, that's going to be something that's clearly recognizable, and that's an Asiyah. However, someone who's just twisting off a branch, you know, you could do that. When you're a little kid, you twist off branches till it tears off. That's not going to be something that's considered an Asiyah. It's not recognizable an Asiyah, and therefore, even with the Rav, you need a recognizable Asiyah, and this should be a problem, even according to Rav. So therefore, we've answered this point of Rav. But however, the Gemara says we didn't ask the first price that we quoted. We never really answered for Rav. The case where the price says is someone hugging the tzitzis while they were single string, and then afterwards you cut them off. The top of the tzitzis were cut off into a kosher manner, but they were originally made in a puzzle manner. That's seemingly the Mishnah says that olam that's going to be puzzle. It's going to be like that's clearly like Shmuel. So the Gemara says you're right. Kasha, that in fact is kosher. That is problematic according to Rav. By the way, why isn't this a tiyufta? But either way, this is a question, Rav. Generally, when it comes to Yisrim Veheter, we do paskin like Rav. However, since we have a kashin Rav, we paskin the Lecha Fala Shmuel, that with regards to this and Sukkah, that with regards to Tzitzis, you need a tassiv, and also we can't say that Psikos is that's the Gemara Malach, that is the Asiya. Rather, you need an actual Asiya to like lift the Sukkah in their circumstances, and in other Lechas, you would be recognized by action like that Psak of Shmuel. Now the Gemara continues. Lema Kitanai. So we mentioned that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is really a Machlokas of Tanaim. As we mentioned before, that Lema Kitanai is almost always, like 99% of the time, is going to be a question. So it's a questioning where it's always almost going to be rejected. Because why is Rav and Shmuel arguing about something that already Tanaim argue about? Clearly, why are we presenting it as Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? It's not a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, it's Machlokas Tanaim, it's Machlokas whoever it's going to be. Here it's a Machlokas of the Braises, or Rishim Bayot Tzadak. Why are they arguing about this? It's always going to be refuted 99% of the time. So here also, Gemara says, so what's the case of our Velikdan Puzzle? We're talking about a little bit background over here, that the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to a hadas, if you have a nava merubin, Rashi quotes this a little bit of the case. You don't look at your maskal avar v'liktan. That if you have a nava merubin me'alav pasul, because you have a problem when you have more leaves. If you have more berries that are going to be a part of the hadas leaves, that are going to be, it's not considered hadar. It's not considered nice, and therefore it's going to be pasul. So if you pluck the berries on yantiv, so the Gemara talks about what happens if you do it on yantiv. So because you want to have them for sukkah, that's you did an isser deraisa l'chora of at least isser derabanan, but you definitely did an isser of plucking them off. So the Gemara wants to know, Avar v'liktan pasul. If you do the tactic them off, so one tana is of the opinion that it's pasul. The Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. However, chachamim that it's kasher. Savru d'kol yam lulav tzarech haged. So the Gemara assumed that in the base measures they assumed that everybody agrees that a lulav requires putting all of Dalamim together. When we say it requires Eged, it means that I have to take my Lulav, my Hesrog, my Hadassi, my Ravos, and I actually have to put three in one end, like that's what we would do. When we put them together, that's an Eged, that's required, of making an Eged, that's what I need to do. So the Gemara says, V'alfina Lulav Mesukkah, and we learn the Lachas of Lulav from that of Sukkah, that when it comes to what concept is that? Rashi's going to say binyanav. Binyanav is when I have a similar concept in one place and a similar concept in another. In fact, that sukkah and lulav obviously are similar concepts, and I know there's a halacha of tasev elam and aser that it can only be made in a kosher way. If something was originally made in a puzzle way, I have to fix it to make it in a kosher way of tasev elam and aser. So that should apply lechora just like it applies to sukkah, it should apply to lulav as well. So that's we're going to learn that halacha. So then. Why? Dechsev gabei sukkah tasev l'manasu. No sukkah, it says tasev l'manasu, that you have to make it. It implies it can't be something already made. So if it's made in a way that's possible, you have to fix it to make it in a way that's kosher. So too, the guards to a lulav also, you have to make it in a way that's going to be kosher. So we didn't flesh out the question yet. So the Gemara says, my love, b'akamifik l'chora. They're arguing over the following: that what demand machshir slav raminan gabei sukkah k'tizasan zoyesiasan. That the one who says that when it comes to sukkah, the chachamim, meaning the chachamim who held that with regards to sukkah, that taking them off is considered making them gabei lulav nami raminan l'ki. That when it comes to lulav, also we're saying that taking them, plucking them off, is considered making them. So therefore, they're going to say that is going to be kosher. That's why it's kosher. So according to Reb Shimon bar Yitzchak, he's holding that we don't say that that by sukkah k'tiyasan zoyasiyasan. So too, but gabi lulav, we're not going to say lomin k'tiyasan zoyasiyasan, and therefore it's going to be pasul. So we're assuming that Reb Shimon bar Yotzadak is going to agree like Shmuel. And the Chachamim are going to be like Rav in this circumstance. It's even more problematic because we don't go like Rav, so it's even a further question. So we're going to reject this anyway. We're saying, no, everyone's going to agree. Shmuel is at least going to answer that. Everyone's going to say that we don't say this halacha concept that when you take them off, that's considered the asiya. We disagree with Rav. So what is the Tanaim argument? Who says that we should say that the halacha, this binyanav of sukkah, there's a shaila, should this binyanav of sukkah, that tasem and asay, that applies by sukkah, should that apply to lulav as well? So that's the argument over here. So the Gemara says, man, the machshir savar loyal finim lulav sukkah. The one who says that that a lulav is going to be kosher. He's going to hold that we don't learn the halach of lulav from sukkah, and therefore tasav and asai doesn't apply to sukkah. As opposed to Rishonu Beyu Tzadok, he's going to say that we do learn the halach of lulav to that of sukkah. Therefore, the lulavs are going to be pasul in this circumstance. So then Shmuel doesn't have to say I hold like Rishonu Beyu Tzadok. I could say I agree like the chachamim, because the chachamim are going to tell you that I don't learn the halach from sukkah to lulav. Maybe I don't learn the halach of sukkah to lulav either, according to Shmuel. So the Gemara says vi by same, or we can say another way that the machlokas tanaim that doesn't have to be machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Maybe even if we're going to assume that lulav does require putting all the four dalad minim together, kuli ama loplegi dialfinan lulav mesukah. So everyone, no one's going to say that we do learn the halacha of lulav to sukkah. You can't have tasev lama asrei that you have to be made in a way that's kosher. So here the question is the following: Mar sever tarich eged that Reb Shimon bar Yotzadok says that the lulav requires putting them together. Mar sever in tarich eged, while the chachamim hold that do not require making them. Going to be requiring putting them together. Pluk Tzadon Tzadon, these Tzadonim are going to disagree with the Machlokas Tzadonim Desanya, Lulav Bein Agud Bein Shanagud Kosher, that with regards to Lulav, whether you put them together, if you didn't put them together, it's going to be Kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Agud Kosher Vein Agud Pasul, that when it comes to a Lulav which is bundled together, that is going to be Kosher. When they're not bundled together, they're going to be Pasul. My time, Rabbi Yehuda, what is the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Yalef Lekicha Lekicha Magudas Ezov, he learns that the case of a Lulav by Exera Shava of from Agudas Ezov with regards to Pesach Mitzrayim, that they took the Agudas Ezov, which is literally defined as hyssop, which I have no idea what that means in English, that they put it into the blood. It's a type of thing. Ksiv Hasam Lekachtam Agudas Ezov. So you put it the bundle of Ezov. Ksiv Hasam Lekachtam Ve'omarishon Malahalan Aguda Afkan Aguda. They have to be bundled together. Banan Lekicha Lekicha Loyafinan. The Rabbanan say that we do not learn out Lekicha Melekicha, and Rashi says they didn't learn this Gzira Shavra from the Rebbeim, and a person can't learn Gzira Shavra by himself. You have to have a Masura from your Rebbeim to have Gzira. So Shala, how could you have machlokas about Gzira Shava? If you have a Masorah from Rabbi Amar Boshar, Rabbi Noshar argue that maybe the words there was a Masorah, maybe the amount of Gzira Shava, that's what Shala and Rishonim, but not for now. But that's machlokas over here, whether we have the Gzira Shava to teach you that you should say that the Lulav Tarach Eged. So Gemara says, Kiman Azla Had Hadasanu. So who is this Braisa that says Lulav Mitzvah La Ogdo? When it comes to Lulav, it's a mitzvah to put them together with the Dalad Midim, Vi Lo Ogdo Kasher. But if you did put them together, it's going to be Kasher. So Gemara says, E Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, Kilo Ogdo, my Kasher. But then in the case where one doesn't bundle it, why is it be kosher, Rabbanan, and my mitzvah. So according to Rabbanan, why is there a mitzvah to bundle at all? So the Gemara answers, lo lam Rabbanan. No, really, this is a Rabbanan, and they're going to say that l'chachila you should still do an eged, you should put them together. And so the Gemara says, why? Because it was they kalim ravehu, that this is Hashem, I should beautify Hashem, which is learning out, it's not a front of a mitzvah. It's a famous concept of hider mitzvah, that you should make the mitzvah beautiful in the eyes of Hashem, and beautify mitzvahs, and that is the mitzvah over here, according to Rabbanan, and eged makes it nicer. And that's a shayla, l'chura, zeken ravehu is a mitzvah deraisa. The Sermon Yishonah implications is deraisa, and all the Chorim say, how could it possibly be deraisa? It sounds like it's for sure deraisa. Rav Chaim goes even further, it's really part and parcel of the mitzvah that you say a shachiyanu when you do the eged, so they hold that it's really part and parcel of the mitzvah. So it's definitely a major part of the mitzvah, even according to Rabbanan that say that it's not mahakev, but it's definitely a major part of the mitzvah. Okay, but as Hashem will pick up with Zav Klal tomorrow's daf.